Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I tell you what, you never get tired of singing about the blood of Jesus. Man, I could just sing that all night long, that song. Just keep on going and going. Praise the Lord. It's so good to be in the house of God here tonight. Amen? Amen. Well, so many good things going on. Aren't you grateful to have the Word? Amen. Well, turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy, and we're going to go over there to chapter 3. And tonight we're going to talk about the authority of the church in the end days. The authority of the church in the end days. You know, just in case you were wondering whether or not we are in the last days, let me tell you, we have been in the last days for over 2,000 years now. Do you know that even Paul and authors of the New Testament, I mean, they even knew that they themselves were in the end days. The end days started when Jesus rose again. You know, they're also called the days of the church, the age of the church. Amen, the age of grace. Praise the Lord. But we know that we are on the very last bit of this age, and the return of Jesus is imminent. You know, the Bible says that we will know by the signs of the times. Actually, Jesus criticized the Pharisees for not knowing where they were in the prophetic calendar. And so we need to know where we are in this big grand event that's about to take place. Well, I'll just tell you where we are. We could be literally minutes away from the rapture of the church. Amen. And if you're wondering why it seems like evil is becoming more and more prominent, well, the Bible tells us that Satan's activity increases as his time becomes more short. Actually, that's Revelation 12:12. It gives us that idea. And of course, that's talking about the tribulation period, but that would apply to our age as well. That as he sees that his time is growing more short. If you've ever wondered why people that don't know Jesus, and even unfortunately a lot of them that do know Jesus, why they are just consumed with worry all the time, that's because they're listening to the devil's voice. Because there is no being more worried than he is. Do you realize how panic-stricken he is? It says that he increases his activity as he realizes that his time is short. Do you realize he knows what's written about him? He knows that eternal judgment is certain for him. There's no way out of it for him. And so he is just frantic, trying to hinder the church in the last days. You know, when we sit and we see, you know, rulings from the Supreme Court on same-sex marriage and all this stuff that's going on, I mean, doesn't it seem like we have hit a fast-forward button? I mean, I was a kid growing up in the days of Ronald Reagan. And just in a short lifetime, I mean, we've seen this country go in a direction that's almost unrecognizable to where it was just a few short years ago. And we've seemed to have hit a fast forward button, and evil seems to be on the rise. And, you know, as it persists, as we get closer to the return of Jesus, we know that that will happen. But I tell you what else will happen is that the church will stand up in a greater measure of its authority. And I just keep saying it, as society grows darker and darker, the church will shine brighter and brighter if the church will decide to stick to the principles of the Word of God. If the church won't abandon the principles of the Word, then we'll shine bright. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so tonight we're going to talk about how our authority comes into play here in these end times. I was reading another minister's website, and he had a prophecy posted on his website, and it was something that Brother Hagin spoke years ago before he went to heaven. Of course, this is maybe 12 to 15 years ago that this was spoken by the Holy Ghost, you know, maybe back around 2000, maybe 2002 at latest. Brother Hagin went home to be with the Lord in 2003. And I came across this, and I spent some time reading it and going over it, and I thought, my goodness, how much we are seeing this come to pass in our days, even much more so than just Brother Hagin 12, 15 years ago. And I want to start by sharing this with you. Of course, you know, we understand that the prophecy that might come through a man doesn't have as much weight as the Word of God itself. However, when it's clearly in line with the Word of God, it was clearly spoken by someone who is submitted to the Holy Ghost. We know it was of God, and of course we will use Scripture to give us the foundation for that. But I want you to listen to this. Now, this was not spoken 2 weeks ago. This was spoken, you know, well over a decade ago. And of course, even in those times, even in 2000, 2002, yeah, things might have been heading in a dire direction then, but it wasn't anywhere near the level of what we've seen it now in just a little more than a decade. My goodness. Now, this is what the Spirit of God said through Brother Hagin. I'm going to read it, and then we're going to get over here into 2 Timothy chapter 3. And the Spirit of God said this through Brother Hagin: we're moving with the Lord. We're moving toward the end. The end of all things is upon us. The end of time is upon us. The enemy goeth about as never before, roaring as a lion, seeking whom he may devour. Immorality, sexuality is rampant on every side. Spiritualism, false cults are rampant on every side. Homosexuality, lesbianism, and all kinds of sexual corruptness is coming out of the hiding place into the full view of the public. Boy, we've sure seen that. That came to pass just a couple weeks ago, more so than any other time in American history. And it says, and men merely shake their head and go on. But Christians are moved by the Spirit of God, and they shall lift up their voices with authority and say, this is as far as you shall come, Satan, and no further. And stay the hand of the enemy, and stay the hand of judgment. Stay the hand of judgment until the message is carried around the world, until the rain falls upon every nation, until the harvest is reaped, and then the cry shall be made, the cry shall come forth, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And what a day of rejoicing, and what a day of enlightenment, and what a day, hallelujah, of spiritual advancement. So prepare you your hearts. Do not be deterred by anything that happens upon the earth, for those things are in the kingdom of man and the kingdom of Satan. But see to it that you function in the kingdom of God. Wow. You know, and I read that, I thought, my goodness, you know, Brother Hagin's been gone for, 12 years almost exactly, coming up here in September, and how we've seen this, you know, come to the forefront about, you know, immorality coming out into the public eye and false cults rising. And I read this and I think, oh my goodness, you know, how this is coming to pass and how that time is accelerating and how close we are to the rapture of the church and the end of this age. And I'm not preaching any of this to scare anybody. The coming of Jesus isn't something that we dread. It is something that we rejoice. You know, there's something wrong with a Christian. You know, if their heart is condemned and they dread the coming of Jesus, the Bible says it is something that we should hasten, something that we should look forward to and long for. I don't know about you, but every day I'm longing for it more and more. Amen. But before we go, there is something, there is an assignment, there is a job that we need to do, and it begins with the authority of the church. You know, and I love how, you know, these are things that we've been preaching and talking about. Of course, I never heard this spoken. I never read this until just recently. But it's when the Spirit of God is talking about stay the hand of judgment, stay the hand of judgment until the message is carried around the world, until the rain falls upon every nation, until the harvest is reaped. That is the assignment of the church. That is the reason for authority. And the reason why we're seeing all this evil come, you know, to such fruition and come into the forefront is to try to subdue or to hinder the church's authority in these last days. Listen, we are not going into roller coaster mode, you know what I mean, where we're just coasting into the finish line here. Our authority is absolutely necessary if the harvest is going to be reached. Yes. Amen. Right. Oh, yeah. You know, how often have we been praying, you know, in service and also in our prayer meetings and things about staying the hand of judgment, that the hand of judgment be withheld upon this nation, that God be merciful upon this nation. Yeah, that is our job. And if we don't do that, you know, if we don't use our authority to stay the hand of the enemy and to stay the hand of judgment, you know, there's going to be a harvest that is going to be lost. So we're going to talk about tonight the authority of the church in these last days. And I'll tell you what, why are you seeing all this seeker sensitive? What is, you know, what's going on with, oh, you know, all these churches that are becoming more entertainment centers You know what I mean? They're becoming more concert hubs and, you know, and all this stuff. That is to diminish authority. What is with this extreme grace message that's telling Christians that they no longer need to repent? You know, that you can live any old way you want and be a path of least resistance Christian and just do whatever. You know, what is that about? It's about diminishing the church's authority. Because how can Christians walk in their authority if they're living in sin? How is the church going to stand up to Satan if they are standing on the same side with him? What is this same-sex ruling about? It is a lure. It is a temptation for the church to just be wishy-washy about it and to stand up and say, well, you know, we're okay with that. We don't want to pass judgment on anybody, you know. And by doing so and taking a weak stance, they are standing on the same side of Satan's plans. And there's no way that the authority of the church is ever going to operate correctly if we're in agreement with the devil. Now, I'm not calling homosexuals the devil. I'm calling that principle. I'm calling sin, however it looks, whatever it does. You can't stand on the same side of evil and be tolerant of evil and expect the authority in the name of Jesus to operate. And we're seeing individuals in these times that are preaching this kind of tolerance in the name of Jesus, preaching this extreme grace message in the name of Jesus. Well, we're going to read some scripture here right now that talks about those that will come in his name and they will try to deceive. And, you know, we have to be careful about that. See, right now the church is very dangerously close to being deceived. You know, that's what all this is about. You know, I was in Cleveland last week, of course, with my mom, and I was driving up to the hospital, and there was this very large church standing there just a few blocks away from Cleveland Clinic, and I look over, and it has one of these large LED lighted signs, you know, and it's scrolling, it's like it's announcements, it's all animated. You know, it had graphics, and it was a large sign, and it was very bright and very noticeable, and this big, huge, you know, gorgeous church was sitting there, and I was stopped at the red light out in front of this church, and I'm just looking over out the window of my truck at this sign, and, you know, I'm looking at it, scrolling through, and all of a sudden, it pops up as a big rainbow screen, and it says, and it had all these different colored hands with a rainbow flag behind it, and it said, we are all God's children. Okay? And obviously the implication is it doesn't matter what your sexual orientation is. It doesn't matter who you are or what you do in this life. We're all just God's children. No, that is a deception. That is a lie to think that all people on this earth are God's children. That is not what the Bible says. Right? What did John chapter 1 verse 14, to as many as received Christ, gave he them the privilege to be called the children of God, or the sons of God, right? As many as receive Christ, as many as believe upon him, those are the children of God. You know, Jesus made it very clear over there in John 8:44 that there are the children of the devil that are on the earth at the same time. Just because someone is alive on this earth, regardless, you know, just because they're a human being does not make them a child of God. What did Jesus say over there in John 8:44? You are of your father, the devil. You know, let's just say it the way it is. Oh, come on. And so there's this whole mentality that, you know, we're just a global community. We're all in the same boat. No, I'm not in the same boat with the world. I don't believe what they believe. I don't think the way they think. Because Jesus lives on the inside of me.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Because we can renew our minds with the word. Glory to God. Right. Hallelujah. Let's go over here to chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to read in the Amplified tonight. I know that maybe many of you don't have an Amplified Bible with you. If you do, great. If not, we're going to put the scriptures up on the screen so you can follow along. I just like how the Amplified draws these verses out that talks about what is going to be going on in the end days. This prophecy that came through Brother Hagin said that false cults are rampant. Right. False cults. Now, a lot of times when we think of the occult, we think of spiritualists. You know what I mean? We might think of, witchcraft. You know what I mean? When you think of the occult, you think of Ouija boards. Yeah. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? You think of more of like that dark magic type of scenario. But you know, there is the largest false cult in the world is probably the false church. Anyone that preaches a false doctrine in the name of Christ, I'll tell you what, we have a lot of that going on in the world right now. Is a lot of folks preaching some doctrine, leading millions and millions of people in false doctrine in the name of Christ. If they're leading millions, you know, astray with false doctrine in the name of Christ, that would be cultic. Sure. That would apply. You know, we're certainly seeing it. But let's read the scripture. You know, I just think it's so amazing when I read what the Spirit said through Brother Hagin, and I'm realizing, oh my goodness, the fast forward button has been pressed. You know, and I'll tell you what, this stuff, if we're not careful, if we don't use our authority, it's going to grow a lot quicker, right. You know, and start taking over where it was never meant to take over. We better learn to use our authority. I love that. But Christians are moved by the Spirit of God. They'll lift up their voices with authority and say, "This is as far as you shall come, Satan." Amen. No further. No further. Not while we're here. But let's look at 2 Timothy 3:1. In the Amplified, it says, "But understand this, that in the last days will come, set in perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear." Didn't you feel that way when that Supreme Court ruling came down? Wasn't it just in your spirit? I mean, for 3 days, I just felt grieved. Grieved in my spirit, and I realized, I'm like, what is that? Why this sadness almost? You know what I mean? And really, it's the Spirit of God being grieved. You know, but it's hard to bear. It's hard to watch a great nation like ours and how God has used this nation go in the direction that it's been going. You know, and not just politically, but we're talking about the spiritual environment. Oh, yeah. You know, these days are going to be hard to bear. You know, I think about my grandfathers. I mean, they're in heaven. They lived to be almost 90, both of them. But there's part of me, I'm so glad that both of them are in heaven and they weren't here when they see decisions like that coming down, as they were both wounded. One of my grandfathers was a prisoner of war, was starved within 1 inch of his life. The other one was a Purple Heart recipient, wounded in battle. They all saw their best buddies dying face down in some foreign country to fight for this nation and to fight to free the world, you know. And then in just within a couple of generations, a nation is turning their back on their sacrifices and things like that. You know, yeah. You know, why? Because there's perilous days. Hard to bear. You know, just hard to witness. You know? You know, it is, just spiritually speaking. It says in verse 2, "For people will be lovers of self and utterly self-centered, lovers of money and aroused by an inordinate greedy desire for wealth, proud and arrogant and contemptuous boasters. They will be abusive, blasphemous, scoffing, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, profane." My goodness. Doesn't that just describe our society? "They will be without natural human affection. They will be callous and inhuman, relentless, admitting of no truce or appeasement." Wow. Oh my goodness. "They will be slanderers, false accusers, troublemakers, intemperate, loose in morals and conduct, uncontrolled and fierce, haters of good. They will be treacherous, betrayers, rash, and inflated with self-conceit. They will be lovers of sensual pleasures and vain amusements more than and rather than lovers of God. For although they hold a form of piety, true religion, they deny and reject and are strangers to the power of it. Their conduct belies the genuineness of their profession." Wow. That is what the end times are predicted, that people will have a profession of true religion, but their actions will belie or deny what they are saying out of their mouth. Come on now. How many, don't raise your hand, how many people do you know that call themselves Christians that call themselves heaven-bound or born again or blood-bought, but their actions totally deny what is coming out of their mouth. That is part of the end days. Now look what the Bible says about individuals like that. Now it goes on to say, it says, avoid all such people, right? Turn away from them. Well, that'll be a tough sentence to preach, won't it? You know, we have no business bringing into our close associations those that confess Christianity but don't live it. Oh boy, we're getting bold again here. I'll tell you what, one of the true signs of being born again is that you submit your relationships and friendships to God. If your associations don't please the Father, you might have to diplomatically and lovingly put space between you and them. Come on, because if you've ever wondered what your future is, look at your associations. Because their present is your future. What they're doing is what you will do. Amen. Glory to God. And so we see that this is part of the end days. People, oh my goodness, I mean, just such a large section of Christianity falls under that statement. You know, what do you think? I mean, that is the goal of the extreme grace message. It is Satan's attempt to get the church to live apart from what they're confessing. What is it? It's to destroy their authority. It's to make their words of none effect. To make their voice unheard of in heaven. Right? Because the Bible says over there in Psalm 66:18, for if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord does not hear me. And so if there's sin in someone's life and they just say, well, it doesn't matter, I'm under grace, there's no need of repentance. They have now severed their voice of authority to the throne in heaven. God does not hear them. Their voice has now been made of none effect to this earth. But our voices are of effect. Because we're submitted to God, His will and His purpose. We're not out living in sin. Come on. Verse 6. For among them are those who worm their way into homes and captive, silly and weak-natured and spiritually dwarfed women, men included, by the way. The Bible's not just trying to beat up on the ladies here. Loaded down with the burden of their sins and easily swayed and led away by various evil desires and seductive impulses. Wow. Notice that. Notice how your lifestyle affects authority. Yes. Notice this. Notice what happens when someone isn't living right. They are more likely to be carried astray and to believe the wrong thing. Come on now. For among them are those who worm their way into homes. You mean like TV? How many Christian worms are worming their way into people's homes? Yes. And believe me, we need to have Christian TV. We need to have good Christian TV. But much of that is led by false doctrine. Worming their way in. And people who are living outside of holiness are more likely to believe a lie. They're more likely to believe anything they hear because they're living outside of holiness. Who are the ones believing the extreme grace message? The sinners. The Christians living in sin. Of course that would be a very appealing message. If you aren't living right, and all of a sudden some, you know, sharp, you know, stylish guy gets on TV and beams across the whole world and say that you no longer need to repent anymore. Oh, think about how you would embrace that doctrine. Because when you don't live in holiness, you are more likely to believe a lie. And if you believe a lie, your authority will not work. Why? Because they wormed in, they led people astray with their evil doctrine. In verse 7, it says, these weak women will listen to anybody who will teach them. Again, men also as well. They are forever inquiring and getting information, but are never able to arrive at a recognition and knowledge of the truth. Wow, they will listen to anybody. You need to ask yourself, do you just listen to anybody? I know I don't. You need to be very choosy about those that you feed on in your spirituality. Yeah, amen. Hallelujah. I look very closely at who my pastor, you know, listens to. You know, I'm very choosy. I don't just sit and, you know, first of all, I don't even have TV at the house. But if I did, I don't just sit there and turn on any Christian programming and think that I'm getting blessed. I don't turn on just any Christian radio station and sit there and listen, you know, to all the doubt and all the unbelief that is beaming out of that thing. Just because something is in the name of Christianity doesn't mean that it's always true.
No, that's right.
Wow. But these messages lately have just really been hard hitting. I thought I was going to get off the hook with this one. But this ended up being a little tougher than I thought. They will listen to anybody who will teach him. Oh, my goodness. You see Christians doing that. The latest and greatest new book from so-and-so, and they run out to the store and they buy it. You know, they buy books about, it's amazing to me. I see books, and, you know, and these books are supposed to be from pastors, and they really don't have anything to do about God. They're about you and your life. Have your life now. You be at your greatest. You're the best. You never miss it. Everything's okay. You are just so pretty all the time. And they're going to powder cake you. They're going to patty cake you. You're just this, you're good, and it's all about building you up. Well, listen, how about we start building up God? How about we start exalting Him, exalting His Word, you know, and get out of this humanistic type Christianity that it has just infiltrated, you know, the church? What is it? It's false. It's wrong. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Praise God. Yes, Lord, I'll preach it. Glory to God. And so we keep on reading in verse 8. Now just as Jannes and Jambres were hostile to and resisted Moses, so these men also are hostile to and oppose the truth. They have depraved and distorted minds. They are reprobate and counterfeit and to be rejected as far as the faith is concerned. It sounds like we are supposed to be very discerning and very choosing where we get our spiritual feeding from. You know, honestly, there are times when I tell Christians, you know, you'd be better off listening to Rock 106 or something than you would be a lot of this Christian radio station. Because at least Rock 106, whatever, I don't know what the radio station is. You know, the rock station or whatever, at least they're not trying to pose as something spiritual. But it's dangerous when something poses as something spiritual and then is laced with a bunch of doubt and unbelief. Amen. All right, well, I'm just kind of reading through here. In verse 9 it says, but they will not get very far, for their rash folly will become obvious to everybody, as was that of those magicians mentioned. Remember those that resisted Aaron and Moses? Remember those Egyptian magicians that thought that they could outdo? Remember for the first couple of miracles they could?
Yes, they could.
Remember that they mimicked, you know, step for step, Moses and Aaron. They threw the snake, you know, and they threw their, and they turned theirs into the snake. You know, Satan can be an imposter for a little while, but he can't forever.
Right.
You will find out his limits real quick if you'll stay faithful.
Yeah.
See, that is just the thing, how you handle the devil. You just last longer than his limits. If you'll just keep on going, you'll discover his limits. You know what I mean? He can only put symptoms on your body for so long if you're releasing faith. He can only keep you under the threshold of poverty for so long. But if you keep releasing your faith, you're going to come to the end of his limits. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, because the authority in the church will always discover the limits that Satan has.
Yes.
He can go a little while. He can keep up for a little while, maybe the first quarter mile or so.
Right?
But after long, he's going to fall behind. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, verse 10 says, now you have closely observed and diligently followed my teaching, conduct, purpose in life, faith, patience, love, and steadfastness. Persecutions, sufferings, such as occurred to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Indeed, all who delight in piety and are determined to live a devoted and godly life in Christ Jesus will meet with persecution, will be made to suffer because of their religious stand. And persecution, the suffering it's talking about here is not suffering in terms of sickness or poverty. It's talking about the insults and maliciousness of people. Are you ready for that? Have you developed at least a thick skin enough to handle the insults of the world? Are you ready to be called crazy? Are you ready to be called a cult follower? You know what I mean? Are you ready for that? Because that's what's coming. I mean, my goodness, we posted a very simple video in response to, you know, the Supreme Court ruling. And I mean, it was just amazing what people said in terms of insults and maliciousness and attacks and all that stuff. It's just amazing. I mean, has our society devolved so much to the point when there actually is a church that preaches the uncompromised word, that actually demonstrates the word of God in real life? All of a sudden it's become so unrecognizable that we get called names. It's so unrecognizable. This isn't any, I mean, were people so surprised? Why were they surprised that the church would disagree with that? Why were they surprised? Because this is the same message that is being preached for thousands of years. The only reason they were surprised is because much of the church has grown dim and walked away, and they're surprised when somebody is actually still left preaching the word, standing up for the principles of God, that they get offended. It shouldn't have been such a big surprise. Come on now, praise the Lord. Anyhow, go with me to Matthew. I wanted to keep reading this. I mean, oh my goodness, you could just keep on reading 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's describing the very days that we're living in.
Oh, yes.
So we're going to be talking about authority here. Go to Matthew 24, and we're just talking about how to handle these last days, you know, and how you're going to use your authority to keep this place afloat. Listen. And when I say we, I don't mean family church. I mean any church. I don't care if it's Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Catholic. If they're preaching the word of God, if they understand the word and they're using their authority, the church is the last thing propping up America.
Oh, you're right.
We are standing literally between the living and the dead. Yes. We are standing between grace and judgment.
Yes.
We are standing between peace and punishment. You have to know and understand that. And if we as Christians are so callous that we can just live, you know, our daily lives without understanding our importance in this whole thing, we will be held accountable.
You're right.
We will be held accountable for this if we don't use our authority. Go to Matthew 24. And let's, oh my goodness. I want to start in verse 1. For the sake of time, we'll start in verse 3. Let's start in verse 3. I'm going to continue to read out of the Amplified. I really just been enjoying the Amplified lately. Verse 3 says, this is Jesus and his disciples, and ultimately they're going to ask him about the end times. It says, while he was seated on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and said, tell us, when will this take place? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the completion, the consummation of the age? That's a big question. That's the big question, right? Here we have Jesus being interviewed. What will we look for when you are about to come back? Look at the answer that Jesus said in verse 4. Jesus answered them and he said, be careful that no one misleads you, deceiving you, and leading you into error. That is an interesting answer to a question, and honestly, it didn't answer the question. They said, we want to know the signs of the end. And he said, be careful that no one deceives you. And it looks like Jesus did answer the question, but really, he answered it with the first sign. He answered it with the first sign of his coming, and that's deception and deceiving. Notice, it's amazing to me that here, when we think about all the stuff that's going on in the end days, you know, and they want to know the signs and the events that'll be taking place. Jesus did not answer with the events that are taking place. The first thing he wanted to deal with is how the church responds to the events taking place. Listen, the events that take place in the end days will change the world less than the church's response to the events that happen in the last days. It's not about what happens that matters most. It is the reaction of the church that matters most. He said, no. The first thing that you need to think about is not what happens. The first thing you need to think about is that you don't get deceived. Because it won't matter what will happen if there's a deceived church there.
That's it.
If the church is deceived when these take place, there will be nothing left to prop it up.
Right.
Think about it. Come on now, we're going to understand the critical role of faithful believers in these end days.
Yes.
Jesus, what's going to happen? What's the event that's going to take place? He said, well, first of all, make sure you don't get deceived.
Right.
Because if you get into error, you won't be able to make an impact on what's going on.
Right.
That has what has been taken out from underneath the church is the ability to impact the world. The ability to stop these events, the ability to uphold and push back and keep at bay the hand of the enemy.
Come on.
Come on now.
That's right.
It's not about what happens, it's about how you respond to what happens.
That's right. Good.
You remember, you know, I preach a message on Proverbs 3, 24 and 25. You know, be not afraid of sudden fear when it comes in the desolation of the wicked, right? For the Lord is your confidence, and he will keep your foot from being taken.
Yes.
How many of you remember me preaching on those messages? I preached it out at in California at Pastor Nancy's church about we're different.
Yes.
How many of you remember me preaching out of Malachi chapter 1? It says, the Lord be magnified from the border of Israel. Remember how Moab was right next door, and they were impoverished and defeated? But they were living on the same land with the same set of circumstances. But when you came over into Israel, they were blessed.
Yes.
They were protected because there was a spiritual line drawn around them that as soon as you stepped over that spiritual line, you went from curse into blessing, from nothing into something. In the same way, there is a line drawn around us. There's something very different about us in these last days. But listen, if we're deceived, then we won't be able to hold it up. We won't be able to prop up this nation, this world. We won't be able to do what this prophecy says, right? Stay the hand of judgment. Stay the hand of judgment or keep it back until the message is carried around the world, until the rain falls upon every nation, until the harvest is reaped. That is what Satan is trying to do. You know, you remember those old cartoons that they would use? Remember, maybe it was the old Looney Tunes and they'd set a trap, maybe Tom and Jerry or something. And when they would set the old prop up trap, you know, the stick in the box and the string tied to the stick, and Tom would wait for the mouse or whatever to get in there, and whoop, he'd pull that out from underneath. I mean, that's seriously what we are. We are holding things up, and the devil is trying to take that prop away. Because if he takes away the prop of the church, then he will be able to bring down all of his plans on this earth. Jesus answered, he said, be careful that no one misleads you, deceiving you and leading you into error. Notice again, lifestyle matters.
Yes.
If you're living in error, you won't be able to have any kind of effect.
Right.
You will be useless in the days of Jesus' return.
Yeah.
I don't want to be useless in the days of his return. How about you?
That's right. Come on.
Come on now. Jesus answered, said, be careful that no one misleads you. Isn't that an interesting response to their question?
Yes.
We want to know the big event, the big signs in the heavens. Yeah, these events aren't nearly as important as what you are thinking, what you're doing.
That's right. Amen. That's good.
And now in verse 5, he says, For many will come in and on the strength of my name, appropriating the name which belongs to me, saying, I am the Christ, the Messiah, and they will lead many astray. Well, that's an interesting statement. And of course, we know ultimately the Antichrist will do that in the tribulation. But what about in the days preceding that? will there come those that will lean upon in the strength of the name of Jesus, but yet teach something completely opposite? Yes, there is a lot of that. Some of the biggest names in TV evangelism are these people. And I'm not here to name names. You should be discerning enough to know. When you hear false doctrine, it should become alive in your spirit, meaning your spirit should, you know, just go on fire, and just you should know when you're hearing something that's wrong, right? Because there are those that are coming on. See, the word Christ just means the anointing. There's going to be a lot of those that say they are anointed, but they're really in error. You know, it's amazing to me. Even good, wonderful Christians, they'll see someone, they'll say, oh, he's so anointed, he's so anointed, he's so anointed. Listen to that. I'm thinking, anointed? They're preaching false doctrine. That's wrong. It is wrong to say that 1 John 1:9 is not written to the church. It is full-blown deception to believe that we can live a Christian life and sin and not have to repent. That is full-blown deception. And yet people have misunderstood it for the anointing. You know you are in spiritual trouble when you look at error and call it anointing. Because there will be many that will come upon the strength of his name. They'll preach in the name of Jesus. Half of or more of what they say won't even be wrong. But in there, there's a poison. It's laced within what they're teaching. It's laced within their books. There's a humanistic religion being, you know, preached in Christianity. This extreme grace message, you know, it's wrong. It's sweeping the earth. It's sweeping the earth, and it's bringing many Christians into error for the sake of diminishing their authority. Right? It's leading a lot of Christians into the path of least resistance. If you preach that it's okay to sin, that's exactly what the people that hear you are going to do. The purpose and the motivation of that whole thing is to get the church into sin so its authority will no longer work. Oh, come on. Notice that these people that come in the strength, in the false strength of Christ's name, notice it all started because Jesus said, be careful that you aren't deceived. Right? We, you know, when I say we, I mean believers. Believers have given permission to this stuff. Do you realize that society, you know, should be an imitation of what's going on in the church? Good. And when the church has become evil, then how much more evil will society become?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. If believers aren't living right, how would you expect unbelievers to live right? If unbelievers are in sin, how much more will unbelievers be in sin? Come on now. You know, the days of being one foot in the world and one foot in the church are over. You're going to have to make a decision. Either you're going to come before God and submit your life completely. And of course, I'm preaching to the choir here. I believe, you know, most of you in here have done that. But I'm telling you, there's going to come a time when you're going to have to completely surrender every avenue of your life and be the real thing and not be okay with a little bit of sin in your life. Because, again, I'm trying to get to the point here is that it's all hinging on, your authority hinges upon your holiness, which is the holiness of God. But you understand that your actions, you know, what we do as believers will either propel the church forward or hold it back.
You're right.
Come on now. Remember, I'm making the point based here that it is our job to stay the hand of judgment. Yeah. It is our job to hold the door open.
Right.
You know, you remember, I'm sorry to use, you know, silly illustrations, but I know you have way better ones. Send them over to me, email me with better illustrations, you know. But how many of you have ever seen the movie The Chronicles of Narnia? How many of you, it's the C.S. Lewis, he's a Christian author, right? And he wrote those things based on, you know, the gospel and so on. And I guess it's the second one, I think it's The Return of Prince Caspian or whatever it is. And you remember they raid the fortress of the big villain there. You know, they go in, they try to take his, you know, they attack the castle that the bad guy's living in and all that. And there's one point, you know, they're getting beat and the battle isn't going well and they're all dying and they're all retreating. And the only way out of that castle is through that big, huge gate. And remember, they were trying to close that gate so they couldn't get out. Remember? And then, you know, the gate's closing and that one big creature who was a good guy. He used to be a bad guy, but now he was a good guy. He stands under that gate, and he's holding that huge iron gate up where all of his buddies are getting out, and their lives are being spared, and arrows are hitting him, and he's just holding on, you know, and he's just withstanding to the point because, you know, the more he stands there, the longer he withstands, the more souls get out of that place. That is exactly the picture of what the church is in these days, that we are holding the gates. The gates of hell shall not prevail against us, right? We're holding it open so the harvest can be reaped all around the world. But if the Christian church is sinning and living wrong, you know, it is like those arrows that cause that thing to collapse and that cage comes slamming down and the people that got caught behind that gate, they ended up getting killed, right? But that's what we are. We're holding the door open long enough for souls to get out of hell, you know, you know what I mean? To escape hell, to get into heaven.
Yes, that's right.
And that is why, you know, all these things, whether it's sin in the church, false doctrine, false teachers, all these things that are going on, that is the purpose of it, is to diminish the church's ability to stand on our authority.
Yes.
Come on now. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Jesus answered them, "Be careful that no one misleads you, for many will come on the strength of my name." Right? And then, of course, you know the rest. And it says, "And you will hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you are not frightened or troubled." Here's the second assignment. Right? Not only are we not to be deceived, we're not to be frightened or troubled. Again, remember, he says, you'll see rumors, you'll hear of rumors of wars. Nations will rise up against nations. I mean, I don't know if anyone, I don't mean to be such a news buff. You know, I'm trying to work on that. One of my faults, okay? Fox News, it's all their fault, right? But anyway, I don't know if you saw this. And I'm not saying this stuff to scare you. But I mean, you know, you saw this. I mean, do you realize that Russia put a nuclear bomber right off the coast of California this week? On the 4th of July, Russia flew a nuclear-armed bomber off the coast of California. Yeah, that happened. And, you know, it's not getting much news attention. It's getting some. But, and of course, our jets had to run out there and intercept, you know. I mean, you're going to hear these things.
Right.
Rumors. I mean, you know, I got to be careful how I state this because I'm not trying to in any way peddle fear. You know what I mean? Not at all. But, I mean, if you've done your study of history and you've understood what started World War I and what started World War II, if you understood the things that were on the scene now in the world, there's a lot more variables in the world right now than there ever was then, all right? And we're going to hear of these things. And people think, well, we'll just be raptured before anything happens. Well, we weren't raptured before World War II, were we?
There you go.
We weren't. The church was still here, you know, propping up the world, you know, in those days. I mean, to say that we wouldn't see things, you know, or see, you know, world events like that. We don't know that we will. We don't know that we won't.
Right.
You know? Come on now.
You're right.
And so here, notice again, it's our reaction.
Yeah.
He says, you see to it that you don't be frightened or troubled. Because if you're, notice, if the church is misled or deceived, if the church is frightened or troubled, we won't be. Notice again, it's not the events that Jesus was concerned about. It was the reaction of the church.
Yes.
How will the church react to those things?
Right.
Because if the church gets into fear, authority doesn't work.
Right.
If the church gets into sin, their authority won't work.
Right.
Excuse me. Pardon me. You ever have those moments? You ever have those moments in front of a couple hundred people? You ever have those moments where you're like everything in your voice box just like gets zapped with like a dry laser beam attack? It's like all of a sudden the Sahara Desert just goes zing onto your throat. Well, that just happened to me, if you couldn't tell. But if the church is in sin, authority won't work. If the church is deceived, our authority won't work. Right? If the church is troubled and afraid, come on, notice it's not the events that should concern you. It's how am I going to react? Come on now. I mean, I can't put this into our hearts enough. Oh my goodness. It's okay, it's not whatever war is going to happen. That's not the main event. It's not whatever is going to appear in the sky it's not what the homosexual agenda is doing as much as what is the church doing? How is the church reacting? If the church is getting into fear and getting frightened, what hope does the world have? Oh my goodness. Come on now. Praise the Lord. We're the foundation of this earth. We're the salt. We're the light, of course, because Jesus is in us. And so, you know, I'm trying to prepare your hearts. You know, I know what it felt like. It was tough to bear in seeing that ruling, you know, from the Supreme Court. But our hope was never in a court system, was it?
No.
Is your Savior found in the political system? I can tell you what, he's not. He sure is not, right? You know, there's not we're not waiting for a president to save this country. You know, we're not waiting on the Senate or the Congress. Now, we need godly people in those places of government, but we're not waiting for them to save us.
Right.
You know, it shouldn't be the church looking at those things, wondering what they're going to do. It should be them looking at us, wondering how we're responding.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Listen, I'll tell you what, we have more to say in the courtroom of heaven than any president, than any Congress, than any Supreme Court. Our actions are far more important to this whole scene than what all the others are doing. Listen, it is not the ACLU that is going to save you, right? It's not the workers' unions that are, you know, the main spotlight. It's not the politicians. It's not the Republicans. It's not the Democrats that are going to save you. That's going to prop this thing up. It's what is the church doing? How is the church reacting to this news?
Amen.
Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Go to Matthew 28. Getting ready to wrap this up. Our authority. It's our reaction to these things. Listen, you know, meanwhile, everyone's so concerned about what the Confederate flag is doing. Everyone's so concerned about what the rainbow flag is doing. You know, everyone, we get so consumed in these other matters. What are we saying as a church? What is the church doing? How's the church reacting? Don't get pulled down into those small petty arguments. You use your authority as a Christian. Amen. Go to Matthew 28, and we'll start in verse 18. This is what we have to know and understand. Preach on this verse quite often. You know, I just, you know, you see interviews. My goodness. So, you know, some of those that are supposed to be our strongest, biggest Christian leaders, you know, they go on TV. They can't even boldly say that Jesus is Lord. You know, thank God for the ones that do. But, you know, some of the biggest churches, you know, in America, they get hauled onto CNN or something, and they get asked point blank, is Jesus the only way to heaven? Well, we don't want to exclude anybody, and blah, 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 blah. You know, no, how about a bold Christian leader that says, yes, Jesus is Lord, but we're not going to let you paint us into, looking like we're exclusive. Because the Bible says that whosoever believes upon him. I know you're trying to make us look racist or haters against, you know, people of different sexual orientations and things like that. Oh, no. Jesus, you know, regardless of color, regardless of creed, regardless of what sin has entrapped you, Jesus is still the answer. Why won't they say something like that? Why won't they? You know, because Satan is working against them to diminish the authority that's the church's. And listen, our authority is founded upon holiness.
Yes, good.
right? If we don't live upon the righteousness of God in Christ, if we're not living in true holiness, it's not going to work. You know, try confessing your healing when you're living wrong. Try to confess all your needs met when you're living wrong. Come on now. You know, people will be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. And listen, I understand I'm on Facebook as well and stuff, but isn't that what Facebook is? Isn't it just everyone loving themselves? It's the ordinary guy or gal gets to be famous. Isn't that what it is? You know, finally a way for all of us to be famous. I'm going to get 1,000 friends. You know? And then, you know, for the first time in my life, 1,000 people know who I am, and they care what I say. No, they don't. They're just looking for you to like what they said. Go into their thing. How many likes do I have? How many likes? You know, oh, I'm going to say something real clever and philosophical and see how many people like what I said. Oh, I only got 15 likes. I really wanted 50. I must not be famous. No, you're not. Yeah. No one's on there caring about you as much as they are caring about themselves. Yeah, yeah. They're putting all these glam shots of themselves and all this stuff. Now, it can be used for a very positive thing. You know, thank God for how it's used positively. But you know what I mean? So much of Facebook is driven by people loving themselves. Yeah. You know? I get a kick out of you. And if this is you, we're just having fun here. But they got some new selfie as their, you know? Come on. Some new radical selfie of themselves looking tough and looking sincere. Some new radical shot, black and white. Like you're looking off into the distance like you don't know there's a camera 4 inches from your face. It's so fake. It is so manufactured. Gotta tell everybody just another way to express all your hurts and your disappointments. And I tell you, it's one thing to say something. It's another thing to put it into writing. When you put something into writing, even on Facebook, you won't be able to take it back. I tell people, man, I'm going into the future kicking and screaming. Yeah, I use it to minister to people, and I know there's a lot of good that can come, you know, because you get any time you get good character behind anything, it can be used for good, right? Praise the Lord for that. But it's overwhelmingly the world just uses it to promote themselves. Isn't that what it's about? Look at me, I can be famous. Even I can even let everyone know when I'm going to the grocery store. I can show them my new coffee drink I got at Starbucks. I don't care. No one cares about that. I mean, what a way to promote narcissism. Because that's what celebrities do, because everyone cares what celebrities are drinking. I don't care what frilly drink you got at the cool, trendy coffee place. Yeah, that is funny. Glory to God. Anyhow, Matthew 28:18. Sorry, I just had to get on a little bit of a rant there. I mean, oh, the glamour shots and all these selfies and junk. Selfies? Anyhow, look at me. Look at how real I'm being right now. Yeah. Busting a pose. Gee whiz. Now I got to go home and look at my... I haven't been on my page in forever. I'm trying to think, man, I hope I didn't put any selfies of myself on there. You're all going to go home. You're going to jump on my page. You're going to be like, hypocrite. Yeah, like, you better like it. Because if I don't get 100 likes by the end of tonight, I'm going to feel bad about myself. I I can't stand that stuff. I just have to admit. Can we be real here? I mean, if there's one, I can't stand flakiness, you know, in any form. That's flaky. I'm really trying to get back into this here. All right, verse 18. Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power, I'm reading in the King James here, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. This is what Jesus said to the church before he ascended. Yeah. Glory to God. Now look at in the Amplified, it says, Jesus approached and breaking the silence said to them, all authority, all power of rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me.
That's right.
Man, I like that. Because anything I see that was given to Christ, it was given to me.
Yes,
anything that's his as is much mine as it is his. Because I am in his body and you cannot separate the head from the body.
Right.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Of course, it starts with the head and it's given to the body.
Yes.
And we know he delegated that to the church. Look at verse 19. I'm reading in the Amplified. He says, go then. How could he say that unless he would give that same authority to the one he's speaking to?
Right.
He's talking to the disciples.
That's right.
He says, all power of rule in heaven and in earth has been given unto me. Pastor Jeff, I will call you out right now. Pastor Jeff just sent me a text message right now while I'm preaching. My iPad just went ding and I look over and it says attachment and it was a selfie of me. But that there's explanation for that one. I actually took that as a joke to rib on selfies. How many of you have ever heard of the orange pop called Fanta? Ever heard of Fanta? I love Fanta. You know, Fanta has an interesting history. It's like 80 years old. Fanta was actually developed. Well, wait, I don't love it for this reason. I just got to realize what I was about to say. But Fanta was developed by the Nazis. That's not why I like it. I like it for the yumminess. But Fanta, when World War II was going on in 1939, when the Germans invaded Poland, obviously the world put a trade embargo against Germany, and they no longer could get Coca-Cola. And so the Nazis developed Fanta as a soft drink for Germany because no one could get Coca-Cola anymore. So they made a pretty tasty little orange drink there. And every time I'm in a supermarket or something, and I find like those glass bottles, like the original glass bottles of Fanta, you know, I buy them. And Pastor Jeff has traveled with me, you know, a lot of different places I've gone, and he knows that whenever I find Fanta, and one day to kind of, you know, jokingly, I took a bottle of Fanta and I made a real, like, serious pose of me drinking a Fanta, and I said, Fanta, the official soft drink of Pastor Tim Stallman. And it was a joke, and I was, like, being real serious. It was kind of a spoof on selfies.
Yeah.
So that's what he just sent me. If you post it on Facebook, your life is over. Oh, are you glad we can be real and laugh in church, you know? Glory to God. Hallelujah. But now I'm trying to be serious here. Anyhow, so where was I when I got rudely interrupted? Well, you know, when he's not on staff anymore, he dares to do something like that. Praise the Lord. Verse 18 in the Amplified. Jesus approached, breaking the silence, said to them, all authority, and I like this, all power of rule. Go then and make disciples of all nations. How could you make disciples of all nations if you didn't have the same power of rule? Listen, notice the harvest is completely dependent upon our authority.
Yes.
Go then and make disciples.
Right.
Notice the salvation of souls only happens because authority has been delegated.
Good. Amen.
Amen. So now, what do we do? How does it look? How does it sound? Right? How do we actually act in this? Well, when Brother Hagin spoke this word, you know, several years ago, honestly, he gave us the answer. The Spirit of God gave us the answer when he said this. But Christians are moved by the Spirit of God, and they shall lift up their voices. There it is. That's what it is. Remember, when we lift up our voice, heaven hears.
Yes.
If we aren't living the way we should, our voices will not be heard. But when we are heard in heaven, we have.
That's right.
1 John 5:14. This is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. And if he hears us, we know we have the petitions we've desired of him. If we know he hears us, we have.
Right?
Notice there's a hearing. The voice comes from the earth, from the authority delegated to the church. And once it makes it to the ears of God Almighty, amen, then we can have it. Then we can have it. Yep, it could be something you're believing for individually. It could be something that we're believing for corporately as a church. It could be something that we could be believing for our nation, for our leaders. Amen. And most importantly, it's something we're believing for the harvest.
Yes.
Glory to God. Look what he says. Christians, they shall lift up their voices with authority and say. You know, that word authority could also be interchangeable with righteousness, with purity, with holiness. And they shall lift up their voices with purity, righteousness, authority, and say, this is as far as you shall come, Satan, and no further. Glory to God. And it says, and here's the result of it. And they will stay the hand of the enemy and stay the hand of judgment. Stay the hand of judgment until the message is carried around the world, until the rain falls upon every nation, until the harvest is reaped. The cry shall be made, and the cry shall come forth. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out and meet him. Amen. This is as far as you shall come, Satan, and you will go no further.
That's right.
Glory to God. Now, what minister was it that used the example that literally Satan is on a leash? Was that, that was Reverend Greer, and he was talking about a vision that the Lord gave him. And, you know, he used, I think, the you ever seen dogs that are on, like, a lead line? You know, maybe they're on the outside, they have that line, or they're running, you know, and they have a leash attached to them. Well, they can only go as far as that line will go. And when they come to, you know, they come to their limit, and all of a sudden, whoop, you know, they're jerked back, and they stop, and they go no further. Listen, Satan's running on that line. He's got a leash around his neck, right? And he doesn't possess us. We're the owner. We're the master, right? Yeah. You, glory to God. You will go no further. You will go no further. Propping up that door, why souls run out of danger into the life of God. Amen? And so we need to make that an everyday practice. You know, that's not just something that we use for our personal lives, though it certainly will work in our personal life. Listen, that works on symptoms in your body. Satan, you will go no further. Right? Poverty, you know, and lack trying to creep into your life. Poverty and lack, you will go no further. Depression and anxiety, you will go no further. You will reverse course, and you will leave. You're trespassing upon the property of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as it would not be permitted upon his body, it's not permitted upon mine because I am his body. This body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. This mind is renewed with his word. My spirit is filled with his life and his presence. It shall go no further than this. Listen, that is what all of this is about. Trying to diminish this very thing. the authority, the power of rule on this earth. Notice it's not granted to a Congress or to a president or to a Supreme Court. The Supreme Court tried to rewrite the definition of marriage, but you will never rewrite the Word of God. You can't. It does not work. You can try to pave over it. You can try to bury it. It will never go away. This isn't the first time in history where civic leaders have tried to get rid of God's Word. It will always float to the top. Every time the church is persecuted, we'll just go higher. Every time they try to make it darker, we'll just shine brighter. You know? Come on now. Praise the Lord. And so that's our assignment. And again, I'm going to read it for you because this is what needs to be coming out of our mouth. We're going to do this as a group here in just a moment. They will lift their voices with authority. The word authority also denotes being bold. You can't just say, okay, Satan, you know, you're not going any further, I think. You're going to have to meet it. You're going to have to know what's backing you up. This is as far as you shall come, Satan, and no further. Stay the hand of the enemy. Stay the hand of judgment. Stay the hand of judgment until the message is carried around the world, until the rain falls upon every nation, until the harvest is reaped. Oh, my goodness. We're going to do that. Let's do that now. Praise the Lord. Go ahead and stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is what authority looks like. This is what it sounds like. Yes. And this is why it's important.
Yes.
That's what I've taught you tonight. Listen, we have such an important role. Listen, there's souls over in China that are depending on us.
Sure.
Even though this church might not have specifically a missionary in China, there's souls everywhere in the world.
Oh, yeah.
There's souls down the street.
Yes.
There's souls around the world that will be affected by the use of our authority.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So let's just praise God. Father, we praise you and glorify you. Father, we magnify